your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5, John Belmer, Cam Smith, maybe Sean Mapes, and Brian Salty Nut McDonald.
Who win it now?
I do nothing but show Michael Carroll love and respect, both on these airwaves and in person here at the Glacial Gal Studios here in the Galleria area.
You should take this as a sign of respect.
I should take this as a sign of respect?
Yeah, he wouldn't be doing this to you.
He called me Salty Nut?
Yeah, he wouldn't be doing this to you if he had a problem with you.
Okay, Cam, weigh in here.
It's a good nickname.
I agree with Cam.
Okay, you want to trade places? You want to become Cam Salty Nut Smith?
I do not.
Okay, so I don't know if
if it's better for you because you said it.
Yeah, I did.
I don't want to take your glory.
Oh, glory is what we're calling it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, glory is what we're calling it. All right. We now turn the reins in part over to our man John Belmer behind the glass, who now going. I wanted to kind of change up the flow of this show. I mean, a little peek behind the scenes. I've put in most of the content that is on the rundown over the course of the couple of years of the show. But look, it's a show for all of us, right? It's not just my show. And also, I'm a little lazy, and I don't want to do as much. So I was like, Cam, John, let's give you all some more runway here. And going forward, John's going to have a segment where maybe it's sports, maybe it's not. His thoughts and opinions on the what's going on right now. Turn it over to John. What is your first topic here today?
Well, that's
sir?
Kind of broad. My thoughts and opinions on what's going on right now. It could be anything.
I'm just saying it's up to you to take it wherever you want.
Yeah, I think it's mostly going to be like things that I seen this week that I had like a quick opinion on, like even in my head.
Right.
And it's just I want to propose the situation and get your thoughts.
It's stuff
on
that
it.
We might not normally talk about. Too.
But it's definitely going to have a question attached to it for you guys. And this will start out with baseball here because we just went through the first week. You know, we went through opening day. You know, everybody's now having their home openers in Chicago. I think these cameramen are a little bit narky for doing this,
okay,
if that's a word. But filming the people that were in the crowd trying to work remotely from the game, on their laptops. Like, don't do that, first of all.
Don't mark them out with the cam?
Second of all, is this acceptable? Like, if you have a job where you work from home, first off, congratulations. Second, are you really going to be able to do that at the game? Should you be doing it at the game?
Yeah, I'm going to – well, first off, to the cameraman, I'm actually going to go pro-narc here. Because, like, their job isn't to necessarily narc or not narc. Their job is to provide content for the TV broadcast, right? And maybe the broadcast crew – I don't know what jabronis do Chicago Cubs games. I could text Joe, but I'm not going to bother. But, like, they may have a chuckle on it, right? Like, if it was an Astros game, like, maybe Blummer makes a joke about it, right? So I have no problem with the cameraman.
If you go to a sporting event, you are opening yourself up for
you're
the
open
opportunity
to,
for being put on that
anything
show.
That happens 100%.
The difference here is that they didn't just show them. You know, they went back to them, zoomed in on them, showing.
Can you see what was on their laptop?
I don't know if you could see what was on the laptop, but you could tell they were, like,
they had their laptop?
Like laptops in the seat at the stadium working remotely.
That could be potentially very dangerous.
So look,
depending on what they're looking at.
I'm not going to say that you shouldn't work remotely from a game because there's nothing wrong with that. But I was also thinking like on his – maybe they were on their phone.
No. This is full laptop, right?
This is full laptop, and there was multiple of them.
At that point, like what's the point of even going to the game?
Yeah, so I'm going to say this is foul and dumb. Like – disconnect, man.
Yeah.
Disconnect. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have had better experience than I have, but I've never thought, and maybe the Cubs are better than the places I've been, but I've never thought Wi-Fi was good enough in a stadium to where I could actually do like.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
And maybe there's some technological loophole that I don't know about and I sound like an old right now. But like my first thought was just like, could you really connect well enough to get your crap done?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
I guess you can because you're doing it.
He's probably like using a hotspot, so he doesn't even have to worry about the Wi-Fi.
But still, man, like take the day off.
Yeah.
Disconnect.
Yeah, like, I agree. If you have the luxury of working from home anyways to the point where they don't even know where you are, like, just – you have PTO. Like, just take PTO and enjoy the game. That way you can drink, you know, have a good time. I mean, hell, if I was at the game with my laptop working remotely, I would still be drinking.
Here's a hack for anyone who wants to do this. I'm not going to say who did this that I know. I just say someone that we all know did this. Okay. They were working remotely one day, didn't really work all day, just typed out a bunch of emails that needed to be sent, but scheduled them in a way that spaced it out through the day to look like they were working all day.
Smart. That's clever.
Yeah, there's a little hack for you, bros.
That's like clever.
Those people that put like the thing on their mouse to make it move throughout the day. Yeah, so it looks like
Yeah, exactly. So they're
just work.
Just either work or go to the game. Like I don't like the in between because if you're trying to work from the game, what are you doing? You're doing your work at a lesser ability than you would if you weren't at the game.
And you're not enjoying the game as much.
Yeah, you're not fully enjoying the game.
Was this a day game or a night game?
Yeah, it was a day game.
Okay. I was going to say, if this was a night game, that'd be even more atrocious because it's like, dude, you're off. Like, aren't you off already? Yeah.
To quote Ron Swanson, never half-ass anything. Give anything you do full ass.
Full ass it.
Give full ass. Absolutely. Like, you're not either... You're like not paying attention to the game, which then why are you there? Or you're not doing your job very well because you're... Paying attention to the game.
And this isn't a sporting event, but there's a guy at my gym, and every time he's there...
Oh, you work out?
He has a laptop.
He brings his laptop to the gym?
He brings his laptop. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen
this. What does he do? Do a set?
Literally. Literally a couple of days ago, he was there, and he was doing, like, chest.
Oh, I hate that guy.
He was on the bench press, and he would literally do a set of bench press, then sit back up, get on his computer, start typing things out.
So he's hogging the machinery.
Yes, and then, like, 2 minutes later, go back and do, like, another set. And I'm just kind of like, dude.
I hate that guy.
Why are you here? Go down to, like, the lounge area where you can, like, do actual work and then go work out. But, like, to sit there on the machines and every 2 minutes start typing on your computer, I'm just like, dude, no, man.
Like... At least, like, pick up your laptop, because most gyms that I've ever seen, they'll have a little kind of cafe, unless it's, like, a really small one, but, like, the big corporate ones will have, like, a little, cafe area, but, like, a little place with table.
Yeah.
Like, do a few sets, then go over, you know, do some work, go back or whatever, but obviously, you could tell by my body, don't work out a ton, but when I have, like, one of the things that annoyed me the most were people that hogged equipment.
Yeah.
Like, just, they'll do a set, they'll sit up and then be on their phone and just, like, death scrolling through their phone for, like, 5 minutes while I'm sitting there waiting to use. Because some of these pieces of machinery, depending on the size of the gym, they may only have one of them.
One or two, yeah.
And so you're just sitting there hot. Oh.
Yeah. And it's also ruined my mood,
Cam.
It's also the fact that, like...
by the mere existence of this gentleman you're talking... No, not gentleman. What am I talking about?
He's not a gentleman. But it's also the fact that, like, he doesn't even bring it in a case. So he's, like, walking around with, like, his laptop, like, open. And it's just like, dude, I hope somebody drops a weight on that.
Yeah, same. All right, John, what's next, sir?
I also hope somebody drops a weight on that.
Yeah. Can I be the guy to do that? Or maybe someone just passing him just accidentally bumps him, so he drops it.
Bumps? I mean, he's opening himself up for a whole lot of damage to that laptop.
Well,
and as he should.
That guy's given his whole ass to being annoying at the
gym.
There
you go. Well done.
And for the next thing I have here, this gentleman's also given his whole ass in this scenario, too. I don't know if y'all seen this, but Caleb Williams filed a, what is it called? I'm blanking on
trademark.
The word. Trademark. There you go. For the nickname Iceman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the question here, okay? Obviously, I have heard some people calling him that. But that nickname is synonymous with George Gervin, obviously. But this is a different era. This is a different game completely. Is it thievery? Is it bad here for us to... Or for anybody to give him a hard time for trying to get, because apparently he's fighting it in court or whatever. Like, he's trying to keep him from having this nickname.
George Gervin's fighting it.
Yeah.
I wonder if George Gervin trademarked it. Because, I mean, just strictly legally speaking, like, I don't know unless he trademarked or copyrighted or whatever. Like, I guess he could just claim usage.
That's
like,
correct.
Because there's documented uses, obviously, through the years of people calling him the Iceman. But yeah, I think this is bad. This is a bad look on Caleb Williams.
You think
part.
So?
Yeah.
This is the quote here, real quick. From George Gervin. I've got nothing but respect for Williams. He's proved his greatness and potential upside. But that name is taken. All I'm saying is, young fella, we've already got one Iceman. If I'm being honest with you, he's also got to let it go. Like, I know he was the Iceman. I know it's taken, but like, that was a while ago. It's a totally different sport. Like, Caleb Williams should be able to take this name and run with it. Now, should he trademark it and take it away? That's a whole other story.
So there's my issue, because obviously you're going to have to cycle through nicknames over decades and decades of sports and different sports. And we've seen players with similar nicknames to people that played before them. But I think it's the fact that
look at boxing.
Yeah,
the nickname Sugar in boxing.
Yeah,
over
and over again.
Or the fact that every rapper that comes out now has either Little or Lil in front of their name.
Sure,
like, you're
going
to
sure.
recycle through these words, but I think it's the fact that he's trying to trademark something that a nickname that was created by a guy that lived that nickname and, like, deserved that nickname. And now Caleb, who's been in the league for, what,
two years,
is trying to trademark a nickname. It's just like,
he should have definitely been more respectful about it too, in a way. Like, if you know somebody already is synonymous, you could have,
right?
Absolutely. Like, and I don't think it'd have been a problem.
That's where my biggest, like, he's in the wrong here is. It's kind of like when a player gets traded from one team to the other and they buy out, but like a player already on that roster has their number. Usually the veteran player, like, okay, here's $100,000. Can I have your number?
Yeah.
Like Caleb, and I guess we'll have to say we don't know for sure he didn't contact George, although from that quote it doesn't sound like that you read from George that he did. So I'm going to assume that he didn't contact the original Iceman. But yeah, you got to reach out to George. Like, hey, man, like, people are calling me this. I'd like to run with it. Are you cool if I use it? You know, maybe shoot a video with George or something like that. Like, try to find a way to get him involved, to get him a little run here in the spotlight again. I think he could have handled it better. Also, say it's kind of lame from Caleb's standpoint. He's been the NFL for two years, been in the playoffs one time, and he's trying to adopt a nickname like Iceman. That implies you've been there, you've done that,
you've lived it, you haven't
big games. Like, dude, you've been to the playoffs one time,
or at least try and change it a little bit. Like, maybe just do like Iceman Williams, so that you know that there's
or just ice.
Yeah, just but you. What is Iceman about you? Like, I don't know.
He did have some clutch moments last year, for sure. Like the touchdown pass to DJ Moore against the Packers in the regular season. Then, like, was it the playoffs where he had that crazy, like, running? He ran back like 30 yards and, like, tossed it up. I forget who came down with that. It might have been DJ Moore again
on the left side of the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, he had some clutch moments, no doubt. But, like, you got to do it for one. You got to do it for more than one season to earn a name like Iceman. And two, like, at least call George, right?
Yeah. Like, if you want to give yourself a nickname, cool. Especially if, like, you're able to, like, live up to it throughout your career. But for me, it goes back to the simple fact of trying to trademark it. Like, you do not have the right to trademark the word, the nickname Iceman.
Well, he does if they give it to him.
Which is crazy.
But if he wins in the court of law, I guess he's got the right.
I can tell you here, he did not reach out to him, because it looks like it says here that Gervin filed his own applications for Iceman and Iceman 44 4 days after Caleb filed his. So as soon as he seen Caleb, he was like, oh, hell no. I'm the Iceman. I'm going to get this back, which I also think is a little bit lame. Just saying.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone looks good in this story, but I think the person who looks worse is Caleb.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. Yeah,
and guess what?
I think John said earlier that hey, let it go. It's been 40 years or whatever. And I certainly see that aspect. I just think Caleb could have shown respect by reaching out. Honestly, I think there's a non-0% chance that Caleb had no idea that Iceman was used for George Gervin.
That could be very true.
I mean, George Gervin was famous, what, in the 70s and 80s?
For basketball, too, but still.
And Caleb was born, like, 2002, probably, 2001. Like, there's a decent chance he has no idea that there was an Iceman in the NBA in the 80s.
Maybe, but you know damn well that the moment he thought this up and spoke it out loud, that he wanted to trademark Iceman, you knew somebody in his corner. It's like, you do realize that.
I don't know, man. Like, these guys' groups have a lot of yes men. They're not, I don't think they have a lot of pushback in some of the, now, maybe he does, and maybe some groups do, but I think there's a better chance than not that they just, yeah, that's great, Caleb, let's do it. I mean, they got hangers on.
I'm saying there's got to be somebody who, when Caleb had this idea, there's got to be somebody he knows that knew Iceman was already taken by Gervin.
I mean, his parents probably
told him.
Maybe. Like,
maybe
they're yes men. Maybe they're hangers on. They're just like, yeah, that's great, Caleb. Or
he could have done his
boss.
Own research because you're trademarking the name.
He's so busy painting his nails, man. That's true. All right. We'll end this segment here. Well done, John. You're good job here on your first segment, taking over the reins of the show. Yeah, golf clap for John Belmer. That was very well done. We'll keep doing that each week so I can do less work. I'm not saying there's not a selfish motivation here, but there is a selfish motivation here. Also, John provided good content, so it's a win-win for everybody. All right, I guess kind of more of a leftover. I guess that's kind of a leftover segment. Where we continue on the other side, Dave Portnoy has his final four order for the suite he's going to be in tonight. We're going to rate that food order, see what we think about it, and some food that's been debuted so far this year in Major League Baseball. And Cam might have a very nerdy question for us. I'm really nervous about the coolness of the show going way down.
Way up?
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that one. That with the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio
97.5. ESPN 97.5.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy.
This is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
Wait, white and nerdy? I thought the song was right. I hear the beat. I'm like, oh, this is white and dirty. John Belmer, why are you playing white and nerdy?
Because we got a Cam nerd question coming up here.
Yeah, I apologize in advance. Cam was a nerd. Like, I'm a nerd, but like Cam is, you know, nerd.
Well,
you couldn't see. I pushed my glasses up to Cam's defense. He's not wearing glasses.
There's Michael Carroll.
Uh huh. Right. Right. What do we do? What are we doing? Biggest D bags? Yeah, Michael Carroll up here.
Nerd. Uh-huh. Nerd level. Michael Carroll's up here.
Oh, okay. Michael Carroll up here.
Then yeah. I'm Shots down fired. Here. And then I guess BMAC, you can be down here.
Yeah. There's definitely a few nerdy things I'm into, like the Witcher video game and Marvel stuff.
I need to get back into the Witcher of the show.
Is wrestling considered nerdy?
I don't know. I think it's more considered redneck than it is nerdy.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
An old opinion.
I think you could take almost... I think you can take a lot of things
and make it nerdy.
And make it nerdy depending on like how much you're into it.
Right, like how much you obsess about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, before we get into the nerdy question that's going to bring the entire show down, I say with love and affection. Let's kick around this. So Dave Portnoy, noted Michigan fan, is going to be at the Final Four tonight in Indy, and he put out a photo of the food that he ordered for his suite tonight. Let's rate this menu that he got here. We're looking here at the photo that he tweeted out. There's six items on this order. So we have an order of pork chicharron nachos. Okay. We have chicken tenders, smoked chicken wings, a salsa sampler, which that could be, I'm going to guess because they're in Indy, that's going to be mid as hell.
Watery.
Some proper Latinos are making some salsa here. Like, that could be dynamite. But in Indy,
it's not like they don't have the money to pay people to travel up there.
I don't know about that.
Like, there's like authentic salsa, then there's Tex-Mex salsa,
right,
and then there's salsa from Indianapolis.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, yeah, pass.
Yeah, exactly. two more items left. A garden fresh crudité. Very fancy. I guess some carrots and broccoli on a board with ranch, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. And the last item is grilled gourmet hot dogs. Now, it doesn't describe what makes these hot dogs gourmet. But you're looking at this list, Cam and John. I'll start with you, Cam, first, since you're the chef here. How do you grade this this menu from Dave Portnoy, the Final Four, 1 to 10? 10 being amazing, obviously. I feel like knowing your food choices, which tend to be Latin and Asian, you're going to hate this menu.
Yeah.
Am I right?
But even putting that aside, it's still basic. Like,
it's very basic. The only thing kind of adventurous is putting nachos on chicharrones, but I feel like that'd be just I feel like the chicharron, like using chicharrones as chips for nachos has a potential just to be like a mess.
Oh, a mess.
I think it sounds cooler. I think it sounds cooler than it actually be trying to eat it.
Yeah, and like I love smoked chicken wings, but like hot dogs, chicken tenders.
Well, they're like chicken tenders. I think is the worst one. Like chicken tenders.
Like I feel like I'm just getting like the most basic Aramark food.
Yes, that's like, especially when you
cafeteria
get
food.
They call the hot dogs gourmet, but like between the hot dogs and the chicken tenders for sure, and maybe even the wings because it doesn't see like. It doesn't designate like any sort of flavor. It just calls them smoked, which I guess is a flavor also. But like, there, it feels like a lot of basic Aramark food, like you said.
It does.
John, what's your grade?
Really does. I don't know. I'm on the opposite of you guys here. First of all, the chicken tenders, whatever. That might be Aramark. I don't know. And the grilled gourmet hot dog. I've never seen anything gourmet with Aramark, so I'm guessing they
exactly.
That's something different. But I got to say that the chicharrones with the nachos, that sounds fantastic. I don't think y'all have ever seen like the actual chicharron that they sell that you can like dip in guacamole and things like
that.
The actual, not just like a bag from the store.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like, there's a restaurant. They're not a sponsor, so I won't give them credit.
Yeah.
But, like, I occasionally get it where they'll bring you guacamole, like you said, John, and instead of chips, they bring you chicharrones, and it's really good.
Yeah.
But I'm taking one at a time and dipping them. My thought on why this would be a mess is unless you're just compiling a bunch of stuff on the plate and then trying to dip it with the chicharrones.
I don't know. It feels like the structure is fine.
Yeah, like if you're laying down a bunch of chicharrones and then try to stack it like you would nachos with like regular tortilla chip nachos, I just don't think that would work.
They would hold up just fine. They're strong. Like I don't know. I think that sounds great.
Think they would hold much.
Also, the smoked chicken wings sounds great. Like,
sure.
It's chicken wings. And the salsa sampler, put that salsa on top of the pork. I would give this, if it's out of 10, I would give it a 7.9.
All right, Cam. I don't think you ever gave a grade.
Four?
Damn.
I'm a little bit, because I am a pretty basic B at heart. And although, like, I know they could do better than chicken tenders and hot dogs, like, still chicken tenders and hot dogs. So I'll be a little more favorable. I'll say it's a 6.
Also, I want to come back to this.
It's mid, but it's fine.
I want to come back to this when we have pictures of these food and we can see that it's not Aramark basic stuff.
Oh, sure.
Hopefully Dave
tweets out a picture of the spread so we can see how it looks. But all right, let's get into quickly we'll breeze through this. Just give me the what you want to try the most, okay? So there was a tweet that went out with MLB teams debuting new food items for this season. 4 items I'll throw at you. You just tell me what you want to try the most. What sounds the best? There's a picture in here for you to reference. Houston Astros are debuting brisket donuts, which I have a hard time. Like, I see the picture. I still don't really fully know what it is. Is it just a ring of brisket? I don't know.
No, it's literally a ring of brisket.
Yeah,
it's just in the shape of a donut.
Yes, which is dumb.
Yeah.
Astros, love you, but kind of dumb. Miami Marlins are debuting the machete quesadilla. It looks good. I don't know fully what's in it from just looking at it, but like they got a proper char on the tortilla. It looks good. Cubs are debuting the chicken and churro platter, which chicken and churros together is kind of weird. But I guess we do chicken and waffles, right? So I guess it's kind of a similar idea. Although the texture there is a little different. And then the last item, Colorado Rockies are debuting a Dubai cinnamon roll, which looks like it has like a pistachio baklava style like topping on top. Well, of these 4 items, John, what would you most be interested in trying?
I think I'm still going to go with the brisket donut. I know it sounds basic, but I've seen somebody eat it. Like, I've seen a video of them eating one, and it holds its structure, and they really loved it. Like, so I'm interested to see. I don't think it's just meat. There's other stuff with it that holds it together.
So it's not just like a brisket meatloaf, like, shaped in a ring?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's got other stuff.
Cam?
I'm going to have to go the chicken and churro.
Yeah, that sounds interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love brisket, but I just feel like it's one of those things where you live in Houston, so, like,
you could do that 1,000
times. Great brisket is very accessible.
Right.
But I've never seen any type of, like, churro combination.
I think I'm with you on this one. I was originally going to say the quesadilla just because, like, visually it looks the best on this picture, but I am intrigued by the chicken and churro.
But it has to be, like, fried chicken.
Yeah, like, the flavor of the chicken could either really help or it could really detract from the churro. So that's a big question.
And honestly, it looks literally like they're trying to make a play off of chicken and waffles because
yes, I think that's the idea.
They have the the powder
sugar. Yeah, powdered sugar on chicken is
yeah.
I don't know. But I guess we do it chicken waffles. So
but it definitely looks like a take on chicken and waffles.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely devour that. And honestly, that quesadilla does look amazing. But honestly, I think it's just the fact that it's ginormous. Like, it looks like a regular just kind of like brisket quesadilla, except for it's like a foot long.
Yeah, maybe so. But, I mean, it still looks good.
Oh, I would still eat it. I'd still eat it, right?
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. All right, we'll carry over Cam's nerd question to later in the show because we got to get out for Mount Rushmore plus one. Don't go anywhere. The bullpen will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore plus one, the game-changing, award-winning segment that's forever changed the sports radio landscape here in Houston, in Texas, and worldwide. And we'll get John, Cam, myself, Sean Mapes, Joe George, Andrew Carlson, Josh Chavans, RJ Saunders, and the host of others, AJ Russ, into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than the 27 years it took those bums. John Lance, I put some extra stank on that.
Bums!
Quickly, I did see him this morning.
Go. In the 27 years it took those bums, John Lance, to get there. John and Lance, I love you. So quickly, before we get into the Mount Rushmore Plus One, some texts came in on the Caleb Williams conversation. I just want to read a few of them quickly from 2568. Caleb Williams coming off as a D-back. Would have never guessed that, which is, I think, the overall point that I was making. Yeah. And a couple of other people mentioned Chuck Liddell, the UFC star, was known as Iceman.
That's the first thing that came to my head.
And then, John, you'll have to tell me this because I don't follow the rap game as much as you do. Paul Wall, does he go by Iceman?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
It's like one of the many, you know...
Yeah, personas. But he's mostly known as People's Champ.
That's
the name I had heard. So, okay. So, anyway, I didn't know if that one was valid or not. So, maybe George Gervin's got a lot of lawsuits to file because people have been... I wonder why that one he singled out, though. He didn't say anything. Well, Paul Wall, he might not have heard
Caleb's
of.
Caleb's the only one that's tried to trademark it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe
also, who called George Gervin and said, somebody's trying to trademark that name.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Like, Chuck Liddell and Paul Wall didn't try to trademark it. All right. Mount Rushmore plus one. I'll go ahead and lead off. Mine's a bit ridiculous. So we had a commercial that played here on the station promoting a concert at a White Oak Music Hall a little while ago. And White Oak Music Hall, I'll just say up front, I've been to it for a couple concerts, and it's an amazing venue. If a band you like is playing there, definitely make a point to see it. They have outdoor seating, like a lawn, kind of like a Woodlands, but a smaller scale lawn, so it's not as crazy sitting all the way in the back. They also have a couple inside venues where I've seen concerts. So, great music venue. This has nothing to do with a criticism of White Oak Music Hall. It is kind of funny, though, this commercial that we aired. It is kind of funny, some of the names, because this is something I've known about for a while, like death metal names. The names that death metal bands choose for their band are sometimes extremely comical, as you will hear in this commercial right now.
Like the scream of the butterfly.
Acid Bath returns to Houston Saturday, March 28th on the lawn at White Oak Music Hall. Tickets on sale now at whiteoakmusichall.com. See Acid Bath with special guests, Obituary, High on Fire, and Necrofire, all under the Houston skyline. Don't miss Acid Bath, Saturday, March 28th. Tickets on sale now at whiteoakmusichall.com. Get them before they're...
So again, shout out to White Oak Music Hall. Great venue. But come on, some of those band names are really funny. Obituary or whatever they called it.
Obituary.
Well, there was something fire at the end, like sacrilegious fire. I don't remember what it was exactly. And then
Necrofire, I think it was.
Necrofire, yes. Yeah. Which I guess that's a dead person on fire. I don't know.
Necromonger.
All headlined, of course, by the great Acid Bath. We all know and love Acid Bath, of course.
Yeah.
So this Mount Rush, Cam, what's your favorite song by Acid Bath? Okay. That one. Right? Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah,
you know the one, right?
That one.
The one that's like, exactly. Okay. Okay, I'll move on. Joke unsuccessful there. So my Mount Rushmore plus one is of other actual, true, for real, not faked, death metal bands that I Googled and I found their names funny.
I love this.
Yeah, I found their names funny. Number one, apparently this is kind of a joke death metal band, I think, but there's a death metal band called the Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza.
And it's death metal?
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
That's so long.
Yeah. No, there's some really long ones. Like, some's like, I looked at the name and my eyes just, like, crossed and blurred. I couldn't even read them. They were so long. Blood Incantation. That's a very death metal band.
Yeah.
That sounds like a procedure.
It does. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe they're on the cutting edge of medical technology.
Or maybe
death
they
metal band.
Formed their band
Blood
in the
incantation. I
think in
I
the emergency
say, like,
room
that.
Weight room or something.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe it's a band of emergency room doctors.
There you go.
All right, next one on the list. I feel like I should say this in like a death metal voice for all these.
Okay.
So maybe the voice I used to use for the Get Hyped segment we used to do. Brutal Sphincter. Would you go see a concert for Brutal Sphincter? No? You're out? You're out? Okay. These are good. These are real names. These are not like...
The last thing I want to get myself involved in is going to a heavy metal show where there's a mosh pit and their band name involves... basically your butthole. I'm not trying to get fondled in a mosh pit.
Yeah. I can't see Cam going to any of these concerts. Cam does not strike me as a death metal guy.
I would not be there either.
No.
Sorry, I'm not much of a headbanger.
No. Like, if I had to, not knowing you at all, profile you, one of you to like death metal, it would be John. But I know John doesn't like it either.
Yeah. I'm out.
No. Okay, two more. Cannibal Corpse.
Oh,
God.
I know. So morbid, right?
These are extremely morbid. Like you can come up with badass names without the blood and...
Well, I told you guys some names that we couldn't say on air.
Yeah, that's true.
They were way worse than what I'm reading right now.
But it goes with the heavy metal theme. You're going to get crazy names.
Last one on the list, Rainbow Puppies. No, I'm kidding. It's Cattle Decapitation. Cattle decapitation.
I mean that. I don't know what to say. What?
Okay, if cattle decapitation comes to town, will you guys go with me?
No. That's
if okay. I buy the tickets, will you guys go with me?
I might.
If I buy you dinner and the tickets, will you go with
me? Yeah, but no, I know I'm sure you're gonna have to drink a little bit.
John, still you're out?
I'm out.
Okay. What do I have to do, John, to get you to go to the show?
It not be called cattle decapitation or whatever.
All right. So those
There's
are the,
no chance.
Those are the funniest, maybe this speaks about my sense of humor, but those are my funniest death metal bands that I could say on air. Because there were some other ones that were even funnier to me, but they were not.
Patrick Creighton would love that segment.
Just Google funny death metal bands, and there's an article from, I think it was Loudwire, and you'll see the names I'm talking about.
Well, like Parks and Rec, when his name was going through the band names.
But he wasn't a death metal band, but he was naming off, like, I think Teddy Bear Suicide was one of his band names.
Yes.
Anyway, Cam Smith, what is your Mount Rushmore plus one, sir?
Hello. So mine is because I've been back on a horror movie kick.
I had to take you as a horror movie guy.
Oh, I love horror movies.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I love
them. We have more in common now. I do too.
I love them. I will say it is kind of disappointing. I feel like I haven't been scared by a horror movie in a very long time.
See, that's not really my bar for horror movies because I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to. I mean, there's some few times a jump scare might get me just because I don't see it coming. But, like, for the most part, that's not why I go. But, like, I don't go for the actual sensation of, like,
being
like
scared.
Actual terror, yeah. It's just like I'm kind of past that.
I can understand that.
Anyway,
so yeah, that is what mine is on, and I guess really, well, no, there's one that stands alone, and I'll do that one last because there's a reason behind that one. But The Exorcist.
I'm sorry, are these like your favorite?
These are some of my favorites, but also ones that did make me kind of like jump or feel like some sort of little type of way. Like these are definitely movies that I would like.
So these are horror movies that actually did give you at least a little bit of a fright.
A little bit, yes.
Okay. All right. Continue, sir.
The Exorcist.
Can I make an admission here to you?
Please.
Right off the bat. And I'm a horror movie fan. I've never seen The Exorcist.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I actually saw that movie for the first time when I was 12. My father took me. And I think the reason why this movie sits in my head even more so is because later that night when I was asleep, he went into my room and went under the bed and started like banging on the bottom of my bed. And this is the same night that I went and saw The Exorcist,
right,
where she was getting possessed on the bed.
Yeah, so, doesn't she like float and her head turns or whatever?
Oh yeah, she does a lot of crazy stuff. You're all gonna die tonight. But
and your dad's under the bed, scaring the. That's amazing.
Thanks,
shout out to your dad.
Thanks, Dad. The next one, Evil Dead.
Okay, yeah.
Evil Dead.
George Romero?
Is
that George Romero?
George Romero did like a Dawn of the Dead, like the zombie movie. Okay. So Evil Dead is like another like kind of like possession movie.
See, that's my least favorite genre of like horror movies is like the kind of the spiritual,
like
possession.
Demonic.
Yeah, well, not like the demon part doesn't bother me. I just don't. Well, I guess they're all baked in together. But I don't care for the spiritual, like demonic. I guess the demonic would be there. It's just like. Maybe it's because like I'm not much of a religious guy. It just doesn't do anything.
So like Constantine is technically considered like a horror movie, but that's definitely like religious based.
Yeah, because he's getting the what do they call the marks on the skin? Like he's getting the physical marks on his skin from the possession.
Like, oh yeah, when it's
I forget what the term is.
It's like good versus like evil in that one too. Amityville Horror, but. There's been a few remakes. So the one that got me the most was the 2003 one. Honestly, I think it had a Deadpool guy in it. Oh my god!
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, which kind of took me by surprise, but
yeah, I don't see him as a horror movie.
They did have an original Amityville Horror that came out in like the 70s, but for some reason, the newer one, like the 2000 one, got me a little bit more. Texas Chainsaw.
Oh sure, yeah, an OG. Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly. I really like horror movies that are based off of
something true
and events. And yeah, Texas Chainsaw is slightly based off of something.
That was more of the ones you've named so far. That's definitely more of my wheelhouse because I tend to prefer slashers and extra points if it's at least semi based on a true story.
Yeah, which is why I was debating on putting like House of a Thousand Corpses and like Devil Rejects,
Rob Zombie,
Devil Rejects up there.
Yeah.
And then the last one, and it took me 27 years to finally face my fears and watch this movie.
Okay, I'm very interested.
It.
Oh, okay. Yes. So,
I
of any movie that actually, there's one horror movie I would say that legit, like, I was not okay after I left the theater, and this is semi-recent. But it wasn't to that level, and I'll say that movie in a second. But the first It. Now, are you talking about the remakes or the original?
No, it took me 27 years just to watch the original.
The original, okay. So when I went to the theaters to watch the first of the remakes, the one with Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise, there was that movie more than many others. Like got me with like jump scares. Like I can't remember a time where a movie got me more with jump scares than the first remake of It.
I don't even think I've
seen the second one. I didn't like that much.
I don't think I've seen the remake, but yeah, I mean,
you should watch it. It's good. I think it's on HBO. It's easy to do. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this movie, but it came out. It's also with Bill Skarsgård, although he's not in it very long. I guess that's a minor spoiler. But there's a movie called Barbarian that came out, I think, 2023.
I believe I saw that.
Okay. Well, I think you know if you saw
it. No, because the name sounds very familiar. Please quickly throw the plot out.
Well, there's a giant, like, mommy monster that tries to, like, make you nurse.
I think I've seen this.
And like she's like it's like running through like a cave that you get to like through a basement.
Okay.
What in the
world? It does sound
familiar. It is disturbing.
It sounds disturbing.
It's an excellent movie, but it is disturbing AF.
Yeah. No, it just clowns.
Like I went and watched that movie and I remember going back to my car after it was over and I just had to sit there and was like, what in the world did I just watch? That like that like traumatized me. It's a great movie, but it traumatized. I think it's also on HBO Max.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Where she rents like the Airbnb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I definitely seen that. Yeah, no, it's just I'm not gonna lie. My biggest fear is clowns.
Yeah. And
it's all
I don't have that, so maybe it hits different, but
well, it all stems from when like I went to like a little carnival when I was like younger and a clown was creeping
up on
me. So ever since then, I've always just had this dire hate of clowns. In fact, I got kicked out of popular phobia?
Oh, yeah, that's a haunted house.
I got kicked out of phobia when I was like 15 because a clown walked up behind me and scared me, and my initial reaction was to turn around and hit him. And there's definitely no hands on the actors at these places, but that tells you how much.
I don't need to laugh because I know it's a childhood trauma for you. But.
And even like working with kids. And me, a lot of what I do is like booking like field trips and like events and stuff.
No clowns.
And they know that if somebody else books something and a clown is there, people know to give me a heads up. Will tell me like,
I didn't know it was this severe.
Oh, I'm telling you, I do not.
I'm going to try to pay John Belmer to dress up as a clown.
I will not be here.
I will not be here.
We'll talk price here after the show. John, what is your Mount Rushmore plus one?
Oh, you said you'll pay? Maybe I will do it. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
I'll be quick here. We're not going to talk about horror or gore or
I just realized I went with bands like Cattle Decapitation, and you went horror movies. Uh-huh. John, please lighten the mood a little bit.
We're
going to
be the PG Mount Rushmore plus
thank
one
you.
Today. I was watching the new season, or the start of the new season of Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV. And the first thing when you open it up is you get a recap of the previous season. And there's that skip intro button, and you keep wanting to push it. I didn't push it this time because I was trying to get the recap of the season, but most of the time I do.
I feel like the first episode of a new season...
You have to do it.
You have to do it, but after that, like, eh.
Exactly. So these are Mount Rushmore plus one of things in my life that I wish I had that skip intro button for.
Okay, I like this.
Just little easy things. Number five, trying to find a parking spot in a busy lot.
Sure.
Just push the skip intro button and you're parked.
You just parked.
Walking
I like
in.
This. I thought about it. I didn't frame it that way, but I have thought about moments like in my life where I was like, like things I would just fast forward.
Yeah,
to. Like,
exactly.
Click, the movie.
Yeah, kind of. Anyway, John, go ahead. Continue.
That's an old school movie. Number four, when the food is too hot and you have to wait to eat it.
Oh,
push that button and it's ready to go. And then this is kind of along that same. It's different, but it's temperature as well. Waiting for the shower water to get hot. Like
I don't feel like there's enough time though to really like worth like I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't feel like you're saving enough time to make it all that.
No, honestly,
worth
it. Depends on I don't how mind good that either because that gives me a couple minutes to tinker on my phone and like my lineups.
Yeah,
you
I'm
got
glad,
a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was a little nervous when you started with tinker, but I'm glad you got the phone now. But yeah, like when I turn on my shower and like I'm waiting for like okay, it's cold. It's like I don't know 5-10 seconds and it's hot.
Yeah.
Like I hear what you're saying, but it's like,
Oh, you got a fancy water.
I guess
then,
so.
Huh?
Maybe that's another thing I found out today. All right, what's left for you?
Rich Brian, number two. This doesn't apply for like the Super Bowl and big sporting events, but all of the sporting events that don't matter, the national anthem. We're pushing
I'm
skip
patriotic
button.
Belmer.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew that one's gonna get me some.
John
some
Belmer
pushback.
Hates the troops.
Are you
okay.
saying that they the dart today. Championship doesn't deserve the national anthem?
That is. Well, I was going to disrespect darts there and agree with you, but I don't think I will. I'm talking about like you go to a Little League game and they're playing the national.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
That's fair.
You know, you're at the eighth grade B team football game and they're playing the national anthem. No, thank you.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I would say that for regular season games too.
Oh, see, you're
just
the
save,
just patriotic
one. Just save,
that's
it for
crazy.
The post, just save it for the postseason. All right.
Yeah. Canceled
now. Go ahead.
Number one is the food delivery apps. When it says your delivery's on the way, but there's another stop in between, push that button.
I hate myself for doing this, but I now, like on DoorDash,
yeah.
No,
not
don't.
A sponsor. They have the, what is it called,
that,
like
Brian.
Express?
They have express delivery. On like regular delivery, and then like you can schedule in advance.
Right, because the express is $2.99, where that you can make yourself the first stop instead of
you're just being ripped off, dude.
It's $3.
It's three.
I think I
$3.
I hate it. I hate it. But I think DoorDash was smart enough to know like the exact price where they can annoy us, but we'll still pay anyway.
No, I've never done it, and $3
is too
much.
Oh, you've never done it, Cam? Have you paid for it?
I've never done the Express, but I can't tell you.
It's $3.
I know, but it's one of those things, too. I guess I can wait, but it is a frustrating thing, especially like in Midtown where there's so many like little restaurants and stuff near each other. Yeah, like I can't tell you how many times I'll order something and then I'll get like an alert and it's like, oh, they're on their way, but now they're making like a stop at like the Chipotle 2 blocks away. And I'm just kind of like,
It also depends on what you're ordering, right?
Yeah.
Like if your order has fries in it, man, you got to get that quick.
But that's the thing.
I try to avoid that.
Ever order anything that's like related to fries, unless it's some sort of like some deal where it's like buy a burger and get like fries.
Also do that with tacos, especially if it's hard shell, because if they don't package it directly or correctly to where it's vented, then that the steam like can just disintegrate that hard taco shell. All right, so we got a couple minutes here. Let's finish up with. Cam, you want to try to squeeze in your question? You want to save it for next week?
We can save it for next week.
Okay, we'll save it for next week. Let's instead talk about, well, before we can talk about what we loved in sports and what we, or the worst people in sports, I just got a couple of quick texts here to read from 4106, hearkening back to my Mount Rushmore plus one. I forgot about this band, not a death metal band, but remember the band from the 90s, Butthole Surfers?
God, I do not.
4106 text in, Butthole Surfer sounds a lot like a metal band, but it's not. Yeah, it's a band from the 90s. And then last text here, I offered John and Cam both a chance to go with me to a cattle decapitation concert if I bought their tickets and food. And from 2568, he says he'll go if he gets free steaks. Get it?
Yes.
Okay.
We see what we did there.
Just call me afterwards. You know, when everybody's cooking the steaks at the after party and we're drinking afterwards, call me then.
So you'll go to the cattle decapitation after party.
Yes.
Just not the concert.
So I like how BMAC offered Johnny basically a free concert and a free meal. And he said no. But then BMAC offers to pay Johnny a tiny bit of money to dress as a clown to scare me, and Johnny's on board with that.
He was instantly on board with
that. That's crazy.
That's instantly on board. All right, my everybody's worst person in sports this week, as we try to power through this quickly, the Rangers. If you haven't seen it, seek out the photo, but they introduced a wearable nacho sombrero.
Oh, my God, I saw it.
Seen the picture, you need to see the visual to fully understand what I'm talking about. But John and I were talking about this before the show. There's three huge problems with it, other than the fact that it's the Rangers and the Rangers suck. One, like, they show a dude actually wearing it on his head and, like, taking a chip, and he's got this goofy grin. He's dipping the cheese at the top of the hat. No one's going to sit there and wear it on their head and blindly dip and then try to bring it down to their mouth. Because every time you take the chip down and move it to your mouth, you're going to spill it all over yourself. So that's one reason it's dumb. Two, okay, you can't wear it on your head. We've all sat in a Major League Baseball stadium. Your knees are up against the back of the chair in front of you. It's pretty tight on either side. You don't have a lot of arm room. You're going to sit this giant-ass sombrero in your lap and try to eat it in that crowded space? No. And lastly, the third reason is dumb, and the most damaging, is, dude, it's made of paper.
Yep.
It's going to collapse.
Yep.
Guaranteed. If you don't eat that quickly, and it's a pretty big thing, so I think it'd be difficult to eat it quickly. If you don't eat it quickly, it's going to sog out and collapse.
Well, all the ways that it could fall off your head, like if you turn back to somebody behind you,
it falls off. Yeah.
You stand up to try and get a foul ball, falls off. And then you got all that crap all over you. You know what?
All right.
I'm glad the Rangers did this. I hope it's an epic failure.
All right. You know what? Because that's so bad, we won't even give loves this week. Quickly, Cam, what'd you hate from sports?
C.B. Buckner.
C.B. Buckner, very true. John, was that yours also?
No, that was actually my love, because I was happy to see him get embarrassed.
Oh, you love that he got all the hate.
It's both, yeah.
You know what? We'll end on that.
Something
that we hate so much that we love it. That'll do it for the bullpen this week. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. For Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I'm Brian McDonald. Have a great week in Houston. See ya.
Have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.